In today's news headlines, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders continued his campaigning ahead of the next set of primaries on March 10th, speaking to tens of thousands of supporters in Phoenix, Arizona. But during his speech, a man in the upper sections of the Coliseum where Sanders was speaking unfurled a large Nazi flag bearing a swastika.
Let me thank all of you for coming out tonight. Let me thank the Red...
According to the Washington Post, while people near the unidentified protester quickly ripped the offending item out of his hands and he was removed from the arena, the mere appearance of a Nazi flag at an event dedicated to a democratic socialist who could become the country's first Jewish president sparked outcry. A spokesperson for Sanders said he, quote, is aware of the flag with the swastika on it and is disturbed by it. On the same day, Nina Turner, the co-chair of the Sanders campaign, debated Joe Biden's surrogate Hillary Rosen in an interview on CNN, which erupted into a clash between the two. Turner had begun to invoke the words of Martin Luther King Jr. and his position on the complicity of white moderates being more dangerous than the violence of white supremacists when Ms. Rosen repeatedly interrupted her.
Chris, what Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was talking about, he said, it is the point that the white moderate wants things to be comfortable, and instead of focusing in on that, the bigger threat is not necessarily the white KKK member, but more the white moderate that is more comfortable
you
with keeping things
don't,
the same
don't
or pretending
use,
like there
don't
is
Don't use
no
Martin Luther King against
then,
Joe
then
Biden.
To deal.
You don't
first
have
of all,
that.
Nobody,
you don't
all,
have that standing.
First of all,
I'm
Hillary,
sorry. You don't.
Don't tell me what kind of standing
you,
I have
you,
as a black woman in America. How dare you?
You have a
first
lot
of all,
standing as a black woman in America. You don't
have
the standing
you need
to attack Joe Biden using Martin Luther King's words.
I didn't attack anybody. You're taking it that way. Listen, don't dip into what I have to say about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. How dare you, as a white woman, sit up here and try to tell me what I'm supposed to feel and what I'm doing right now.
I'm out of time.
That's Sanders co-chair Nina Turner and Biden backer Hillary Rosen on CNN on Thursday. Rosen on Friday apologized to Turner. President Donald Trump at a Fox News town hall meeting in Scranton, Pennsylvania on Thursday admitted he would be cutting social safety net programs funded by taxpayers for taxpayers.
If you don't cut something in entitlements, you'll never really deal with the
debt. We'll be cutting, but we're also going to have growth.
Biden, who was born in Scranton, tweeted in response, here's the deal, folks. Social Security is on the ballot this year, and the choice couldn't be clearer. Sanders shot back, saying, here's the deal, Joe Biden has repeatedly advocated for cuts to Social Security. I fought my whole career to protect and expand it. Sanders' campaign manager, Fez Shakir, added in the statement, Donald Trump tonight sent a warning shot to our party. If we nominate a candidate like Joe Biden, who has repeatedly tried to cut Social Security and pushed disastrous trade deals, Trump will exploit that vulnerability in an effort to obscure his own record and win the battleground states that could swing the general election. Also at the Fox News town hall, in what was a preview of Trump's impending attacks on Biden should Biden be the Democratic nominee, the president took aim at the former vice president's numerous gaffes. Trump said he had been, quote, all set to face Sanders in a general election, but, quote, then we have this crazy thing that happened on Tuesday, which Biden thought was Thursday. But he also said 150 million people were killed with guns and that he was running for the United States Senate. There's something going on there, end of quote. The Guardian newspaper said Biden, who did say those things, has a track record of gaffes and has turned in bumbling debate performances. The state of Alabama late on Thursday executed a black man named Nathaniel Woods after the Supreme Court stayed his execution and then lifted the stay. Alabama's Republican Governor Kay Ivey refused to step in, despite overwhelming evidence that Woods should not have been sentenced to die in the first place. Woods had been convicted of the murder of three police officers in 2004, along with another man, but he was not the one who had fired the shots that killed the officers. Journalist Sean King, who had championed Woods' case, denounced the execution as, quote, a modern-day lynching of, quote, an innocent man. Woods was killed by lethal injection at 9:01 p.m. local time in Alabama. King wrote, the family of Nate Woods is literally on the floor, sobbing uncontrollably. In other news, Minnesota Senator and former presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar has asked for an independent review of a case she prosecuted that resulted in the life sentence for a black man named Mayon Burrell when he was only a 16-year-old child. Burrell was tried and convicted for the murder of a 12-year-old black girl named Taisha Edwards. Activists dogged Klobuchar throughout her campaign over her role in Burrell's case, after a news report exposed numerous problems and questions over his guilt. Burrell is now 33 years old. AP explained that Klobuchar, throughout her political career, has used Burrell's conviction to trumpet her commitment to racial justice, but she has faced increasing criticism from the African-American community in Minnesota. A federal judge has said he wants to review all of Attorney General William Barr's redactions of the special counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Trump campaign and the 2016 election. Judge Reggie Walton's decision was in response to a lawsuit brought by a number of watchdog organizations about the biased manner in which Mr. Barr characterized the findings of the Mueller report. The judge cited Attorney General Barr's, quote, conduct and misleading public statements about the findings in the Mueller report. The Washington Post explained that, quote, it is highly unusual for a federal judge to publicly question the honesty of the Attorney General. The latest jobs report is out, and it shows that in the month of February, the U.S. economy added 273,000 jobs. In spite of these relatively healthy numbers, economists are worried about the potential impact of the spread of the coronavirus and fear that the March report will not be as good. Meanwhile, President Trump on Thursday signed his approval for $8.3 billion in funding to combat the spread of COVID-19. AP explained that the legislation provides federal public health agencies with money for vaccines, tests, and potential treatments, and helps state and local governments prepare and respond to the threat. Trump was scheduled to visit the headquarters of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Friday, but he canceled that trip at the last minute. He is now reportedly considering a bailout for the travel industry, whose bottom line has been impacted by the spread of the virus. Trump's administration has shown no such concern over the poor state of the American healthcare system, and he has yet to address how those among the 27.5 million uninsured Americans will get access to care should they show coronavirus symptoms. Meanwhile, CNBC host Rick Santelli, a rabidly right-wing figure associated with the Tea Party, is facing calls for resignation after making outrageous statements on television about his fears that the coronavirus was hurting the economy.
But maybe we'd be just better off if we gave it to everybody, and then in a month it would be over, because the mortality rate of this probably isn't going to be any different if we did it that way than the long-term picture. But the difference is we're wreaking havoc on global and domestic economies. Look at it.
That's Rick Santelli on Thursday on CNBC, speculating that it might be better for the economy if everyone in the U.S. was infected with the coronavirus. Finally, in international news, a mass killing of 32 people took place in the western part of the Afghan capital, Kabul, less than a week after the U.S. signed a peace deal with the Afghan Taliban. Multiple explosions resulted in mass casualties at an event where the opposition leader Abdullah Abdullah was present. He escaped unhurt. The Taliban immediately put out a statement saying they were not behind the attack. And that does it for our news headlines today.